7. Tess's Fate. Chapter 18. Angel's parents were delighted when he arrived home at last, but they were shocked to see how ill he looked. Angel told his family about the hard life in Brazil and finally asked, "Have there been any letters for me?" His father gave him the second letter that Tess had written. "She is right," cried Angel when he had read it. "I was very unfair to her. She will probably never take me back." As he lay in bed that night, he decided to write to Tess before he went to see her. A few days later, he was surprised to get an answer to his letter from the village of Shaston near Trantridge. It was from Mrs. Durbeyfield. "Dear sir, my daughter is away at the moment, and we do not know when she will return. Your letter was forwarded to me. We do not live in Marlott now, and I cannot tell you where Tess is staying. Yours, Joan Durbeyfield." Angel did not know what to think of the letter from Tess's mother. He sat down and read the first letter he had received from Tess when he was in Brazil. The letter was filled with so much love that Angel decided to try to find Tess immediately. As he was preparing to leave, he received a letter from Iz and Marianne, who were still at the farm where Tess had been working. "Sir, your wife is in serious trouble. If you love her as much as she loves you, find her and help her. A woman alone is not strong enough to resist the wickedness of some men. There is a man who can do her great harm. Please hurry. Two friends." The letter alarmed Angel, and he hurried to the farm at Flintcomb Ash. There he was told that Tess had left and gone to Marlott. He went to the Durbeyfields' old cottage in Marlott, but another family was living there. In Marlott, he also saw John Durbeyfield's grave. When he was told that the headstone had not been paid for, he gave the stonecutter the money that was owed. Eventually, in Shaston, Angel found the small house where Mrs. Durbeyfield and the younger children were living. "My name is Angel Clare. I'm married to your daughter, Tess. I need to see her. Please tell me where she is," said Angel when Joan had opened the door. "I don't know," answered Joan. "But if you are her husband, you should know where she is." "Of course, you're right. A man should know where his wife is. Please, help me find her," begged Angel. "I don't think that Tess wants to see you," answered Joan. "I'm sure that she does," said Angel. "I had a letter from her when I was in Brazil, and I know that she still loves me. Please, Mrs. Durbeyfield, tell me where she is." "Tess may love you, but I don't think she wants you to find her," said Joan. "I'm sure she wants to see me," said Angel. Angel seemed so desperate to find Tess that Joan began to feel sorry for him. Finally, she said, "Look for her in Sandbourne." "Oh, thank you," said Angel. "Is there any way I can help you?" "No, thank you," said Joan. "We have enough." Sandbourne was a town by the sea. Angel went there by train and found a room in a hotel. He walked around the town looking for Tess. It seemed strange to him that she was living in a place where there was no farm work. "Perhaps she works in one of the big houses here," he thought. In the morning, he went to the post office to ask if they delivered letters to anyone named Clare or Durbeyfield. "No, we don't have letters for those names, but there is a Mrs. Durbeyfield staying at Mrs. Brooks's house," the postman told him. Angel quickly found Mrs. Brooks's house. It was a house with several rooms to rent. Angel asked Mrs. Brooks to call Mrs. Durbeyfield. "Tell her that Angel needs to see her," he said. "She will know who I am." When Tess came downstairs, she was dressed in fashionable clothes. Angel was embarrassed that he looked so ill. "Oh, Tess," said Angel in a low voice, "can you forgive me for going away? Can you come to me again?" "Don't come near me, Angel. It is too late now," cried Tess. I know that I was unfair. Don't you love me? Is it because I am ill? Asked Angel. You don't know what has happened, Angel. I wrote to you, but you didn't come to me. Then Alec found me and told me I was a fool. He said you would never come back. I was desperate, and he helped my family, said Tess in a hopeless voice. I don't understand what you're trying to tell me, Tess, Angel said. I have returned to Alec, said Tess. He's upstairs. I hate him. He lied to me. He said you wouldn't return. You have come back to me, but now everything is ruined. There can be nothing between us now. Please, Angel, leave here and never come back. This is all my fault. I should never have left you alone, exclaimed Angel. Tess turned and walked out of the room without speaking. Angel left the house and went down the street. He did not think about where he was going as he walked out of town. Mrs. Brooks, the landlady, heard Tess go upstairs to her room, and then she heard her moaning and crying and Alec shouting angrily. A few minutes later, she heard footsteps above her head. After a while, she heard Tess go out. Mrs. Brooks went into her own room and sat down to finish her breakfast. She was finishing her third cup of tea when something red dripped onto the tablecloth. Looking up, she saw a red stain on the ceiling. It seemed to be getting bigger. Mrs. Brooks climbed on a chair and touched the wet spot with her finger. When she looked at it closely, it seemed to be blood. She went upstairs and slowly opened the door to the d'Urbervilles' room. Mrs. Brooks screamed. Alec d'Urberville was lying dead on the bed. The large knife from the breakfast tray was sticking in his heart. Angel was walking along the road out of town when he turned to look back. He saw someone running towards him along the road. As the figure got closer, he saw that it was Tess. Angel, began Tess as she reached him. I've killed him. I had to, Angel. I never loved him and he ruined my life. I loved you so much and he said you would never come back. Say you forgive me, Angel. Say you love me. Of course I love you, Tess, Angel assured her. But are you telling me the truth? Is he really dead? Yes. He heard me crying and he said cruel things about you. I couldn't stand it. I've killed him, Angel. I've killed him, sobbed Tess. Now we can be together. Tess put her head on Angel's shoulder and cried. Angel did not know if she was crying from sadness or from happiness that they were together at last. He only knew that he could not leave her. He held Tess tightly and kissed her. I'll take care of you, dearest, no matter what you have done, he said. They walked down the road together with their arms around each other. We must walk north, away from the coast, said Angel. When they stop looking for us, we can get to a port and find a boat to take us out of the country. By evening, they were very tired. As they were looking for a place to stay, they came to a very large, empty house in a wood. One of the windows is open. We'll stay here tonight, Tess, said Angel. They wandered through the house until they found a large bedroom with heavy wooden furniture. They spent the night together in the big old bed. In the morning, Angel went out to buy some food in a village 2 miles from the house. They stayed in the house for 5 days. It was like the honeymoon they had never had. The world was locked outside, and only Angel and Tess existed. On the 6th day, an old woman, who was the caretaker of the house, came to open the other windows to air the rooms. Angel and Tess hid until she had gone. Then they packed their belongings and continued walking northwards. They walked all day and into the night. They were walking across Salisbury Plain when Angel bumped into a huge stone standing in a circle with other large stones. This must be Stonehenge, Tess, exclaimed Angel.
Listen, said Tess. Can you hear the wind singing in the stones? I want to stay here tonight, Angel.
She lay down on one of the stones.
We can't stay here, argued Angel. Someone will see us. But I love it here. There's no one in the world except the two of us, sighed Tess.
Angel eventually agreed and lay down by her side. As the sun began to rise, Tess turned to Angel and said,
Angel, I hope we meet again after we are dead. Do you think we will?
Angel did not want to answer her, so he kissed her instead, and Tess fell asleep again. A few minutes later, Angel saw policemen walking towards them around the stones. As two of the policemen approached Tess, Angel whispered to them,
Please, let her finish sleeping.
The policemen stood quietly until Tess woke up. She looked around at them and said to Angel,
Is it time? Have they come to take me?
Yes, Tess. We have to go with them, Angel answered.
I'm glad, Angel. I suppose this happiness had to end. It is better this way, said Tess as she stood up. I'm ready, she said as she walked towards the policeman.